Churchill Downs and Tennessee River Valley. You remember?
Oh, that was a big thing about when they started all that, which look what all it's done.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's why Roosevelt was so much liked, because he wasn't just thinking about, yeah, I'm going to get elected today, this is what I'll do. He was looking to the future. What if Tennessee Valley hadn't been followed through? Because look how many rural, right now, I've got electricity because of it.
Right.
And so the thing of it is, it was a good project, and Roosevelt just was leader enough to follow through.
And then talking about Roosevelt, you were mentioning to me about how like people would sit around instead of watching TV.
Oh, well, we didn't have very many televisions.
Right.
We only had, you contacted and listened to radio, and he would come on I'm not sure, but I kind of think it was about, it's once, it was regularly, it might not have been once a week, but it was regular.
Mm-hmm.
He would come on with what he called fireside chat. And it was just like he's sitting here in your living room talking to you, you know, and he would, it was, the communication then was right, just seemed like it was personal, because he's talking right to people, and it meant something, and he was doing what he was saying.
So he wasn't like politicians more or less today.
You know, there's a difference. I want you to understand, there's a difference between a politician and a statesman.
Right.
A statesman is a statesman that thinks of what he's there for. A politician pays anything.
Just to get elected.
you take, like, I wrote, even wrote a letter to Gingrich about the contract, the Republicans' contract. We have the Constitution of the United States. That's our contract.
Right.
This other one, this Republican contract is just to elect you.
Right.
Elect somebody, and it ain't got, it don't even hold water, and you see what happened to it. But you don't find, and Roosevelt was one that was a statesman.
He was more or less for the people, right?
You just don't find statesmen.
Can you remember anything in particular about something he talked about that really affected you that you can, you know, still remember to this day, maybe some one of the chats he was having, you know, can you remember any of the issues he talked about?
Well, he seemed like, I can't remember definitely just anything in particular, but anything he talked about, people listened to him, and they said, Roosevelt's going to do this, Roosevelt's going to do that. And you could feel assured that he's on his way to do it. It wasn't like, we're going to do this, that, and the other.
And never see, you know, get done.
Never get see. Because he was a person that when he said it, he tried to go on and do it. And I can remember, too, when, I don't know whether you remember any of the names or not, but you know now, you can turn on the television, and we got three main stations here, and four or something, main television stations. And every one of them comes on with the news. You turn on any station at 6 o'clock and get all the news, you know, from 6 and all through the other channels. Back then, we had, it was Lowell Thomas, Edward R. Murrow, I wish I could think of the other one. There's three. These were the people that were newsmakers. They'd come on telling you the news, and you listen to them.
Right.
And that was how you got your news. You didn't get it all at 5 o'clock in the morning, 12 at dinner, and all during the day, and then 6 o'clock at night, 3 hours, you know. You listened to that news. And like I said, I can't remember the other one's name, but it's Lowell Thomas, I remember that. Edward R. Murrow.
And so basically, even as a young child, you were involved in politics, that you didn't know it at the time.
Well, I didn't know I was involved,
yeah,
but I was listening.
But see, like, this may shift gears a little bit. Even nowadays, a child, say 13, 14 years old, they're not really, or even younger, they're not interested in who's going to be president or you know, what's going on around them. They're too busy wanting to watch TV, you know, the Power Rangers or whatever, anything like that. But at your age,
you were still listening.
You were concerned and you were really interested in, you know, what if Roosevelt was going to do something, when he got it done. And so you were...
Well, you would see, in the age I was right then, you would see what the people were going through. Actually, after the good time passed, I have actually seen people that needed shoes to wear. They would wear them until they just... She just didn't hardly have a shoe to wear. Things got that bad. Well, while we're talking about long neck chains there, when Roosevelt came up with some kind of a plan when the banks and all failed, and I don't remember just what happened there. Maybe you know in all your studies, but the thing of it is, what I wanted to bring out is I know of some neighbors that I used to know that lost everything because they had everything tied up in the bank. And the banker, the man that run the bank, he went down to a creek not too far down the edge of Cordova, and he shot himself in the head and he fell in this creek. So he was going to die one way or the other, either by the shot or by falling in the creek, because he was hurt so bad. And I'm pretty sure that Mr. So-and-so and Miss So-and-so come up to him and said, look, you've done this to my money. They're blaming him right there in this little town.
Yeah. Well, things had gotten bad that everyone was desperate.
You got to blame somebody.
Yeah.
So you're the one I'm going to blame. So I imagine, I'm sure that happened. Now, we weren't the kind of people that had money in the bank, so it didn't affect us.
Did depression affect y'all?
I'm talking about the bank.
Yeah.
The depression sure did. I can remember everything being rationed. Long everything was rationed. It didn't matter what it was in your body, it was rationed. And you had so many that had a ticket, had a book, and you would get that book. And when you used that up, unless you got it some other way, that was all you got. And I can't remember just everything, but it seemed like everything was about was rationed.
Well, would you consider your family poor, middle class, or, you know, and
then, well,
had money at that time, or?
I would say we were just slightly below middle class.
We weren't dirt poor, but
we weren't dirt poor. But you see, talking about the mill, when my daddy passed away, the superintendent of the mill that run Cordova Mill, was over Cordova Mill, National Company, and Cordova, he told my mama that she could live in that house as long as she wanted to. The house that when we moved over to Alabama, from Georgia, they had a house ready for my daddy to move into.
As you were just saying earlier about how good the company was to the town.
That the company was good to the people in their village. And our house was what you call it was nicer built. And it wasn't far from the mill. And it was a one-story, I guess what you might call a cottage. It was a nice little house. Whereas the biggest part of the mill village, if you wasn't a boss or something, their houses were built where a family lived on, it was like a duplex, a family lived on each side, and it was two-story, and one family lived on each side of it. That was the biggest part of the houses, if you wasn't a boss or something. But see, when we moved there, Mr. Pickard already had this house for my dad. And it wasn't, now the houses were, if they were over, if you was a man over the, like over the whole shop, you got a bit of a little bit nicer house. Ours was the house that was, it was a boss's house, but it wasn't the best boss's house.
You were telling me earlier about how, how many times did the mill shut down? Just once? Or
well, I don't remember that exactly how many times. I know it went through a period there of talking and shutting down, and it worked a little bit, and then it just kept on going like that while they was trying to negotiate, trying to two pictures. I've got pictures when the show in Cordova and all, and back then, like I say, the mill was it was a pretty good sized mill. I got a picture of it, and I have been back over there since then. And the only thing that I guess it's tore down by now, but the only thing was this huge chimney that is huge. And I've got a picture of that.
That's basically what you see in most old mills, is the big, huge chimney.
It has to have this huge chimney for running its different, You see, I never did know really how a cotton mill run. By the way, my brother, when I was talking about Mr. Pickard helping him to go to college,
mm-hmm.
when he got ready to go to college, his name's Charles. And he went on to make a career out of it. But that's what he went to school for, was to study textiles. And in textiles, you study I don't know a lot about it, but how to make the weave and the warp. You know, there's a weave and a warp.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, the only thing I can kind of figure out about it is, you know, you look at cloth and see how there's the weave and warp. And that was one thing my sister-in-law had a little hand mill thing that showed how you could do that. But I can just imagine a great huge machine in this mill and what it did. And then it would go into where they died, you know. When my brother, he went on to school and learned all about textiles and how the different designs, you know, and what you did and all, and he evidently come up to all the prospects that Mr. Pickard thought he had because of, he retired with Grace Company. He went with the Grace Company down to South America and that. That's how he retired, passed away a few years back.
Right before y'all moved, maybe a year or so, a year before, 2 years, 3 years before you moved, remember, you know, how your family bounced back from the Depression? Or?
Well, you see, my sister, she went to college too. She went to the University of Alabama. And she finished the University of Alabama. And I can remember back when she just like all my brothers and sister, there's four of us, that worked to go to college, she, in this little small town, is this home?
Mm-hmm.
In this little small town, do you know what it would be like I'm sure you have seen, like if you go into some, office of some business, and maybe they have a switchboard,
mm-hmm.
you know, and okay, it's something like a switchboard, only it was bigger. It was I don't know whether it's even called Southern Bell or not, but it was a bell. It was some kind of a telephone company, and the board was about, I'd say, well, that far field was about 8 foot long, was a whole thing. And she would work down there at night at this what's called switchboard. And it was carried the whole time.